Hi, good evening, everyone. It is great to be back after a long delay. I had either a dinner or a simcha or a school event, I think every Wednesday night since Pesach. Have we met since? I don't know if we've met one time since Pesach, and there was NORPAC was in a week. Right. So there's just been a lot going on, but I think we're good for at least this week. We'll see. I don't know, graduate? Baruch Hashem. A lot of things going on, all good thing, and we should do it. Yeah, I didn't realize that. We'll have to figure that out. But for Simchas, it's a good reason, I guess, not to learn. So we'll start a new klal, klal vav. And believe it or not, I didn't put together a Chafetz Chaim with these sheets. Wow, that is really bad. Woo. Okay, I guess it's just a chiddush that took me 14 sessions to do that. I only put in the extra sources. I printed them. Well, okay, so I will do it. I guess we'll learn it outside. Well, outside maybe it's better for some people. Anyways, I guess Akash Baruch Hu didn't want me to have the sheets. What? You won't tell everyone how irresponsible the rabbi is that you didn't even bring the store sheets for this year. Wow, okay. Chafetz Chaim says something very surprising, which is that there's an Isser Daraisa, to believe Lashon Hara. Until now we were talking about speaking Lashon Hara. We can't speak Lashon Hara about people, we can't speak about Lashon Hara about objects, which I think the last thing we discussed. There are times where it's mutter, if it's a toel, so there's a purpose. But the Chafetz Chaim says that not only is there a prohibition to speak Lashon Hara, there is a prohibition to believe Lashon Hara. And that's learned out from the pasuk of Lo Sisa Shema Shav, which is in the Ten Commandments, which also means don't carry things that are false. So either it can mean anything that don't believe things that are false, and what the person is telling you, there's a good chance it might be false. You don't know if it's true or not. Lo sisa shema shav. Or it means lo sisa shema shav. Anything that's destructive, that's negative, that's hurtful, is, by its very definition, shav, which is worthless. So there's a prohibition against believing Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim then quotes a Gemara in Makos that you do have in your packet. I apologize. I forgot to include the Chafetz Chaim packet, believe it or not. So the Gemara on Surah page 2, the Gemara says something pretty astonishing. The Gemara on page 2 says, it's bracketed off, Kol Mesaper Lashon Hara, V'chol Mekabel Lashon Hara, V'chol Amed Eidus Sheker, anyone who speaks Lashon Hara, anyone who believes Lashon Hara, anyone who testifies falsely, Roi lashlicha leklavim. It's a very strong language. It's worthy that they're thrown to the dogs. Why? What does one have to do with the other? So the pasuk says, lakelav tashlichuno so, lakelav tashlichuno so. The samachle, and right after that, it says lo sisa shem hashav. So if lo sisa shem hashav is a source to not believe, except lashon hara, and it's close in the pesukim, lakelav tashlichuno so is referring to meat that's not kosher, basar treifa, so we could connect the two together, and someone speaks or believes Lashon Hara is worthy to be thrown to those. What's the connection? In what way is someone who speaks or believes Lashon Hara like a dog? So the Mefarshim give a couple explanations. The Gruss says, because just like a dog is always barking, the Baal Lashon Hara is always yapping away. His mouth is always moving, he's always talking, there's nothing that can stop him, it doesn't matter. There's certain people that are always gossiping. They always got juicy information. They talk like the dog. The Maharal says it's even worse than the dog because a dog can stop barking, can keep its tongue in its mouth when it needs to. It can be trained to do so. A Baal Lashon Hara can't help himself. And I think we've probably encountered people who, when they get in that zone, they just keep going. And they don't stop. So that's the prohibition, not to be mekabel, not to believe Lashon Hara. Chafetz Chaim says that believing Lashon Hara is worse than speaking Lashon Hara. So it means if I tell you a piece of juicy Lashon Hara and you accept it, so the sin of accepting, believing Lashon Hara is worse than the sin of speaking Lashon Hara. Why should that be? What do we think? If there's no audience, the person is not going to keep on talking. Good. What else? If
you think it's true, or when you hear it, you're going to tell somebody else.
And you now could go ahead and tell other people. Okay? Also,
there's two things that are happening. The person talking and the person.
Right, so you're violating like a lifnei iver lo titen mitzvah, because without you hearing, believing the Lashon Hara, there's no one to speak it. Mepharshim explains it's even more than that. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, if no one believes it, so nothing happens. It's throwing punches that don't land. It's shooting an arrow that doesn't hit a target. But once a person believes it, that completes the act. Now it could lead to hurt, to pain, to damage, to loss. But if a person just speaks and no one believes it, so what's the big deal? What's the big deal? So that's why the Chafetz Chaim explains that believing Lashon Hara is a worse sin than speaking Lashon Hara. Now, the major question practically, and that's what I want to spend the bulk of our remaining time, is how do you avoid that? Someone, you're talking to someone, and they tell us Lashon Hara. They tell us someone they saw, they tell us something about an individual, they speak poorly about someone, and you hear it. So what do we do practically? How do we not, we believe it. You're an honest guy. I have no reason to suspect that you wouldn't be telling me the truth. How do I train myself, or how do I avoid this prohibition? It's a worse prohibition, the Chafetz Chaim says, than the one who speaks to Lashon Hara. Okay, but what do I do? What do I do? So I think there's two approaches. They tell this story that the Chafetz Chaim, his daughter, asked her son, sort of Zax. The Chafetz Chaim, I think had a grandchild who just passed away recently. So the Chafetz Chaim got remarried to a woman who was much younger. Chafetz Chaim's first wife, I believe, was his stepsister or half-sister, died, and he got remarried. And I believe he had two children, I think when he was nearing 70. I could be off by a year or two. She was significantly younger. And then he had a grandchild that was alive, I think pretty recently. And she said to him, I don't understand, how could it be that there's a prohibition to believe Lashon Hara? Not to speak Lashon Hara, I understand. That's in my hands. I could decide to speak or not. It's hard, it's challenging, but every person has that ability to be a gibor and not speak Lashon Hara. But when someone tells me Lashon Hara and I believe, that's so much harder, what am I supposed to do? So the Chafetz Chaim's grandson responded to his mother, it's the opposite. It's almost impossible not to speak Lashon Hara. When a person's in that moment, in that rage, he speaks Lashon Hara. But not to believe Lashon Hara, we could train ourselves. What can we do? We could just think, most people don't tell the truth. Most people, if they're not flat out liars, I don't think most people are liars, but people embellish. How often do we hear a story about a situation in shul or in a family or in a community, and then when we dig a little bit deeper, do a little research, it wasn't exactly like the person said. So if we are always, now you can't walk around suspecting every person that talks to us is lying or is embellishing everything. We'll have no normal, healthy relationships. But when a person tells us something wrong, when a person tells us something about people that are negative, so we can train ourselves to think that this is probably an embellishment. It's probably not telling exactly the truth. If we have that, so to speak, degree of suspicion when speaking to people, which might be a healthy thing in general, so then why am I believing him that this person did that? I'll never even believe that it's going to happen. I think that's one approach. A second approach. So this is the tricky part. What we're going to talk about next week is that even though you're not going to believe it, Chavetz Chaim's Baruch Hu, you gotta be choshesh for it. So it's a very fine line, meaning someone tells you you're going to think about getting into a business partnership with someone, or a shidduch for a child, and someone tells you something damaging. So you're not going to believe that it's true, but you're allowed to be choshesh, suspect that it might be a problem, you can look into it more, or refrain. What? Toelis, you're allowed to listen to it. We're going to see there's an issur to listen. So how you ever allowed it? The Toelis, there's a heter to listen, and there's a heter to be suspicious. We still can't believe it. I'm not getting to visit with you because I believe that you're a crook, you're a bad guy. But I have enough of a suspicion that I'm going to refrain. You can't believe it. Now, what's really the nafkamina if you believe it or not? I'm not sure. Well, at the end of the day, we're not God. Only God is. You're allowed to suspect it, but you can't believe it.
Generally, it's just to be down without splits, but here we're saying the strategy is not to be down without splits.
Well, they're two guys. So I'm telling you that Ploni is the Mechal Shabbos, so you can either be down Mechal Shabbos, me or him. So it's better that I'm maybe saying something that's a slight embellishment than saying he's Mechal Shabbos. That's one approach. And I think there's another approach. The Chafetz Chaim in the Be'er Ma'ayim Chaim, and I had it underlined in the sheets that I printed. I'm really sorry. He says that...
Are you embellishing that?
No, I underlined it, or bracketed it off, maybe. The Chafetz Chaim says that you're allowed to believe that the incident happened, but you can't believe the genai that came from it. Meaning, there might be a story, there might be a reason. It's kind of like being down the chafetz chaim. An extreme example is, you know, there are always the big tzaddikim in Israel who walk the streets of Yerushalayim, and every car that drives by on Shabbos, mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, they all have babies. That's obviously an extreme, extreme example. But very often when we see people doing things they shouldn't be doing objectively, there's a story behind it. Someone could be talking in shul and he's speaking to someone, he has a halachic shayla, he's speaking to a doctor, people are going through difficult times emotionally, we could see a person walking into a restaurant, he's going to the bathroom. I always tell the story, it's a story that I heard for a million years, it actually happened to my friend. My friend's father passed away, and he was on the plane going to Eretz Yisrael for the Kavura, and someone came to him on the plane and said, you help us, we need one more for a minute. And he said, no, I'm not going to daven. You're not going to daven? We need a minute, what? Well, I'm actually going to bury my father. So I'm going. Now that's an extreme example. But if we train ourselves to be dam lechav sechus, maybe it's true, and I'll believe that what you're telling me is true. You saw Ploni do whatever he did. Okay, but it doesn't mean he's a bad guy. There might be a story behind it. And the third approach, I think, is based on something I'd like to share with you, which I think is a very insightful piece by Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Damo, was killed by the Nazis, Yirach Shemam. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, the Rashi Baranovich, asked very fundamentally, there's a mitzvah emunah. How could God command us to believe in Him? If we believe, we don't need a commandment. And let's say we don't believe. So now there's a commandment. Oh, so now I believe? I mean, if there's a mitzvah, if there's an action, God could command us to do an action. Light candles, put on tefillin. But if it's an emotion, either you have it or you don't. How could it be that if you don't believe, so now there's a mitzvah to believe, so now you have to believe, you don't believe. What are you supposed to do? Says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, you have a child who's becomes 13, and now he's obligated to believe. But there are great philosophers. He says, Aristotle, who the Rambam said, his brain was one madrega below Nevuah. That's what the Rambam said. And he didn't believe. So how can it be that the Torah obligates a 13-year-old to believe, yet there are people who are brilliant and geniuses who can't believe? So what? How does that... How does that make sense? So Rabbi Chana Wasserman says, and it's a very sophistic piece, which we can't go through the whole thing. He explains that really, if you think about it, any person who's not a complete shota, in his words, anyone with any degree of das is going to believe in God. It's impossible not to. He says, just like if I took a large canvas or a piece of paper and I took ink and I kicked it over and magically a book appeared with words that were coherent and made sense. That's impossible. Now there might be beautiful artwork that is based on someone kicking, but it's not going to happen. You can't expect to knock over a pen, knock over a bottle of ink, and there to be a book formed. I can't just take five pieces of wood, throw it up, and a table is going to be formed. The world couldn't have just happened on its own. There has to be a creator to the world. So how is it that people don't believe? Explains to Rabbi Chana Wasserman that there's something called taiva. There's desire. There's negios. There's our own feelings. There's emotions. There are things that take us away from that belief. The mitzvah amuna, explains Rabbi Chana Wasserman, is to stay away from those things that pull us away. The person stays away from the things that pull them away, so then naturally they'll just come to a state of emuna. There's a story that someone came to Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik and said, "Rabbi, I'm struggling in my Judaism. God, does he really care?" He had real questions on his emuna and the sense of Hashgacha Pratis. He said, "I've been Michal Shabbos. I'm eating treif." So Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik said to him, "Did your questions come up before you started being Michal Shabbos or after you started being Michal Shabbos?" So he says, after. So Rabbi Chaim said, "You don't have questions, you have answers." That's what Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik said to him. Often, it's when we're involved, when people are involved in sin, when they're involved in running after things that take them away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then the questions start to creep in, but the emunah is pasha. It's just that we get involved in things which take away from that, detract it. The mitzvah is to stay away from those things, and then the emunah can come naturally. And I think the notion here to circumvent, I think this is probably the best etza to circumvent, the best piece of advice to circumvent believing in Lashon Hara, is to train ourselves just not to talk or think about other people. Not just in a Lashon Hara type of way. So often, we're talking about people. We're analyzing people and what they do and how they look and what they wear and what they did and what they bought and everything. So many of our conversations, so many of people's conversations, speaking for myself often at the table, it's about people and not about ideas or about notions. And if we train ourselves to not talk about people and to always judge people favorably in a real way, it doesn't have to be in a fake way. So then, naturally, we're just not going to believe in the Lashon Hara because we're trained to almost be disgusted talking about other people. I was recently talking to someone, and they went to a store that was supposed to open at 8 o'clock at night. 8 o'clock in the morning. And they had a busy schedule, and they needed to go to the store quickly to pick up all the things, and they went to work. And it wasn't in this community. And they got to the store, and no one opened. 8:10, 8:20. Finally showed up at 8:30. And it messed this person's day up completely. They had to late to work. They couldn't do the things they needed. And they were very upset. And they started telling me about it. It's ridiculous. The store, the owner, is he can't get up. Maybe it's not happening. The initial thought should be, maybe he got stuck in traffic. Maybe his child was sick. Maybe he's going through a difficult time. We all have things ourselves that we struggle. Speaking for myself, the things I struggle with, and the things going on in our lives, and if only people knew, maybe they'd be more understanding. So if we train ourselves, just like the Rabbi Chana Wasserman says, train ourselves to stay away from taiva and from things that pull us away from Hashem, and then naturally the moon will come. I'm using that same notion to suggest that if we just stay away from thinking about other people and talking about other people and always jumping to the negative, so then naturally people will tell us, Lashon Hara, it's just going to bounce right off. It's not even going to register as a thing. They'll never be. I know this from speaking to Rabbi Luban. He never thinks or says anything negative at anyone. And anytime anyone goes to complain, there's always this initial thought is that there's a tzad to view it in a positive way. And I don't think it happened by accident. He probably worked hard at it, but it's a midah that helps us avoid believing in Lashon Hara. So people could tell us things that maybe sound logical and sensible and probable. But again, if we could train ourselves, either to be down with Chafzuchos is one shot, or to view people in general as off limits talking about it, and then we'll get to the point where we won't believe it. Next week, with the sheets, hopefully the Chafetz Chaim goes through. So practically, when someone wants to tell you something, so where is this line between being choshesh but not believing? If I don't believe it, then why do I have to be choshesh? That becomes very tricky. Someone tells us something, and because of that, we're going to stay away. We're not going to give them a job. We're not. But now, when we see them the next day, how do we think of them? I think that's like the litmus test, if we have it right. If we have it right, then when we see that person the next day or the next week, we don't think anything worse of them. They're a great person who I just couldn't go into business with. It becomes very tricky. We often project and view a person in that negative light because of... So next week in Ritz Hashem, we'll talk about how to get there. I apologize again for the lack of the sheets. Everyone should have a wonderful evening, and we'll be in touch about next week.